listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. For more information about the show, go to theunionedge.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in very much. We appreciate your hanging out with us, that's for sure. Meantime, stand by for news.
Environmental groups are suing over the expansion of one of the state's largest crude oil operations. The lawsuit contends the San Joaquin Air Pollution Control District illegally approved permits without environmental review of the risk of importing millions of gallons of toxic and potentially explosive oil. Matt Krogh with Forest Ethics says 5 million Californians live in the evacuation zone for an oil train derailment or explosion. He says it's too dangerous to allow the Bakersfield crude terminal to increase traffic without investigating the threat to air quality and public safety.
You see the potential for these oil trains passing through every major population center of California, crossing critical waterways and aquifer recharge zones, crossing through, you know, valuable farmland.
The California Energy Commission says oil shipments by railroad into California have hit an all-time record, which Krogh says also increases the risk of a disastrous spill.
That's rare, but it's a real risk. The other side, though, is that there is a chronic exposure for people all along the rail route to emissions from the trains in transit and from this terminal itself.
Krogh says California's weather is also a hazard for trains carrying volatile crude oil.
These tank cars, black ones, coming through California in the summer, and you actually have boiling contents with a constant popping of these pressure relief valves. And this is the sort of thing that needs to be studied and understood.
The lawsuit filed by Earth Justice maintains air district officials approved the permits in a piecemeal fashion to keep the project from getting public scrutiny. The Kern County terminal opened last year and is allowed to accept up to 100 crude oil trains a day, including those carrying volatile crude from the Bakken Shale Formation, as well as heavier and highly toxic tar sands. This is Lori Abbott, California News Service.
Veterans in Arizona and across the country may gain access to improved mental health services if the U.S. Senate passes legislation linked to veteran suicide. The Senate is expected to pass the Clay Hunt Suicide Prevention for American Veterans Act early next week. It would provide funding to evaluate the mental health and suicide prevention programs of the VA and Defense Department, also improve training and enhance collaboration. Jace Elliston is a Phoenix area Gulf War veteran who lives with post-traumatic stress disorder and says almost two dozen vets take their lives every day.
It's a massive problem. 22 a day is unconscionable. It's got to be changed, and anything that we can do to make it better and a review of the systems that we have in place is probably a great idea.
Elliston points out the numbers total about 8,000 veteran suicides per year. The legislation is named for a Marine veteran who struggled with PTSD and committed suicide in 2011 at age 28. Elliston says an entire generation of veterans are dealing with the lifelong impact of taking the lives of others in war, which has a profound effect on their own mental health.
Imagine a person that takes another person's life. You deal with emotional issues for the rest of your life, trying to quantify and trying to put meaning to what you did. And some people have a real, real difficult time coming to terms with that.
The Clay Hunt bill passed unanimously in the House and the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee earlier this month. Arizona News Connection, I'm Troy Wild.
The Super Bowl is said to be by some the largest event in terms of human trafficking, but it's a crime that takes place year-round in all states, including Ohio. Federal and state officials say human trafficking is a growing problem, but pinning down exact numbers is difficult because it's a hidden crime. Ohio's Anti-Human Trafficking Coordinator, Elizabeth Ronaday Janis, says there are about 20,000 people in the U.S. who are sexually exploited or forced into labor.
We're talking about the black market, buying and selling of people, and the compelled service of others for profit. And profit can look like a lot of things. It can be actual money. They can benefit from drugs. It can be all kinds of different ways people think to exploit other people.
Janis says Ohio has intensified efforts to address the problem by strengthening protections for victims and creating tougher penalties for traffickers. A report from the Attorney General's office says there were 85 human trafficking investigations in Ohio in 2014, resulting in 98 arrests and the identification of more than 180 victims. The Ohio Human Trafficking Task Force has coordinated prevention efforts between state agencies and partnered with mass transit agencies, faith communities, and other groups to raise public awareness. Janis says education is crucial to stopping human trafficking.
If you're social worker, law enforcement, a doctor. We do mandate training for all kinds of professions in our state, but would really encourage people to pay attention and learn the signs so they can be part of the solution in helping people who need help get help.
She explains victims of human trafficking often work long and unusual hours, avoid eye contact, and may appear nervous or fearful, and they may not know much about the area where they reside. Janice says nearly 3,000 Ohio children also are at risk of being exploited through human trafficking. This is Mary Sherman, Ohio News Connection.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm John Whitehouse. Conservatives pointed to an intense blizzard that hit the Northeast this week as evidence to disprove climate change. Eric Bolling, a co-host of Fox News' The Five, argued that less snow disproves global warming.
After all the catastrophic warnings, all the doomsday forecasts, the blizzard of 2015 hardly blew through the Big Apple after all. Many parts of the Northeast have been hit very hard, but the fact is meteorologists blew it. And so did the climate alarmists who are already blaming global warming for the storm even hit.
Radio host Rush Limbaugh claimed that more snow disproves global warming.
They're blaming global warming on massive winter storms. We've got more snow, we got more winter storms happening in this country. The years are not getting warmer, and yet they continue to hit everybody with global warming.
In reality, climate science is firmly established. And according to Kevin Trenberth, a climate scientist, warmer ocean temperatures as a result of global warming played a key role in contributing to the severity of the blizzard. For more on this and other exciting stories, please visit MediaMatters.org.
Union Edge Labor Stock Radio, supporting all working families and their communities.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Stock Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company, that's for sure. We appreciate that very much. Listen, as a reward, we've got these fantastic apps for your iPhone or your Android phone. Go to our website, theunionedge.com, download the free app. That way you can listen to this program live or you can listen to the podcast. It's up to you, but it's there for you. Meantime, on the phone, we've got Chris Gerlach of the D.C. Labor Council. Chris, welcome back.
Charles, so good to talk to you.
Brother, I appreciate it. Hey, listen, you got to quit crashing people's websites, man.
You know, everybody's got to have a mission in life, Charles. Yeah. Apparently is my... No, seriously, I was... I've been working with Sherry Senders, our good friend over at Labor 411 out of L.A., and we're bringing that great product here to D.C. It's a consumer guide so that when you want to, you know, buy union, which I know you talk about all the time, how do you do that? And in fact, it was funny because I was going to go on a local TV show yesterday, and Sherry gave me all the stats, and it's all about using our consumer dollars to vote for employers who take care of their workers, right? They pay their workers well, mm-hmm. They treat their workers well. But the thing is, you get out there in the world and you're trying to shop, and how do you know which are the good ones or which one are the bad ones? So I'm in the supermarket the other night, my Safeway, which of course is one of our good union supermarkets here in D.C. Members work at their USW Local 400 members work there. And so I whip up my smartphone, go to Labor 411, and they got this great thing. It gives a whole list of all the different things that you can buy for your Super Bowl party on Sunday. Now, I'm talking 200 beers, okay? Everything from...
Chris, you drank 200 beers?
Do I sound like it?
No, not really.
No, this is just 200 beers to choose from. Let me be clear. I've already got a bad enough reputation as it is, right? But what's cool is that actually there's all kinds of different beers here. But I took a bunch of this stuff, beers and chips and salsa, all union made. I took it on the show yesterday, and I guess there's a lot of people watching this show at 10 o'clock in the morning because we crashed that site, but good. But the good news is, it's back up. Sherry got right on it. She did whatever it is that you have to do, and I don't know. But I don't know what the magic is that they do. But the site is up. I'm looking at it right now. They got everything. They got Stella Artois. They got Beck's, Budweiser. Rolling Rock. Josh Williams, he's president of the Labor Council. He loves this beer, Red Stripe. All kinds of beers. You get your ballpark hot dogs. You got your bagel bites. I don't know what those are, but they sound good. Cheetos, Chex, Fritos, Triscuits, Mission Chips, I mean, all kinds. I mean, whatever you want, Charles, you know, to set yourself up for the big game on Sunday, you're going to find a way. And one of the things that we were talking about is, you know, it's really easy to do this, you know, and you don't have to spend more money. You don't have to go to some special place, you know. You can go to your local supermarkets. You know, here in D.C., it's Giant and Safeway. And then, I don't know about you, but when I get in those aisles, I kind of, my head starts to spin. Seriously.
Right. I know exactly what you're talking about, Chris. You're trying to, is it this brand or is it that brand that's Union? I can't remember which, you know. And this is a great way to know.
It's a great way to know. And they're just, labor reform was just doing a great job. And then, you know, the other thing is that here in D.C., we've got a lot, obviously, you know, museums and restaurants and hotels. A lot of people come to D.C., you know, to visit, and that's great. Which are the Union hotels? Which are the Union restaurants? And not only that, but, you know, when you go to the museums, you know, those are staffed by Union members. You know, these agencies in town, those are Union folks. So kind of a cool thing. We're pretty pleased to be working there, and hopefully we'll have the print version out soon, but the online version is there now. Should check it out, you know, labor411.org. They're good friends. We love what they're doing, and you know, go forth and buy Union.
Absolutely, and it's a wonderful thing. And you know, folks, I say this all the time, you know, look, when you buy American, when you buy Union, and when you buy local, the job that you save maybe your own.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the thing about it is, you know, this makes it easy. That's the whole thing. You know, I'm you know, just like anybody else. You know, I get out there, I want to do the right thing. But, you know, honestly, and I've told Sherry this, if I got to carry something with me, a little, you know, printed out list or something like that, honestly, it's not going to happen. That list is going to sit on my desk or in the house or on the fridge. You know, this way, I've always got my phone with me. You know,
right.
I probably have the phone before I put my pants on in the morning. And, so that's something you always have with you, and you can just pull that out, check it, and see what's going on. So we think it's a great product. I got two quick things I want to let your listeners know about, things that they can take action on to help working folks here in D.C. One is that strike I've been talking about for a couple of weeks now. The Teamsters are striking a building contractor supply place called T.W. Perry. That strike is continuing. There's been a little movement, but it is still continuing. We have a campaign going, working with DC Jobs with Justice, targeting some of the customers who buy their supplies at T.W. Perry. So you can go to our website, dclabor.org, and then you'll be able to click and send an email to the contractors asking them to support the strike. And then another one we haven't really talked too much about because this broke recently, Montgomery County taxi drivers are trying to get a Montgomery County passenger and driver bill of rights. We have a story on the website, dclabor.org. But this is a good thing. It'd be good for the drivers, it'd be good for the passengers, and you can also click on our story there and send an email to county legislators, let them know you think this is a good idea.
Well, let's go for it.
That's what we feel.
Yeah.
Can I tell you one more quick story?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm on a picket line yesterday with our friends from Writers Guild East. And they're organizing folks who produce those reality shows. I know, you know, neither you or I watch them. I mean, we're above that sort of thing. But I might.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Gold Rush or crab fishing. You know,
I'm not going to out you here, but you know, I know that some people love these shows. And what's been going on is, it turns out that the drama you see in front of the cameras is nothing compared to the drama behind the cameras in terms of the ungodly hours that these folks have to work,
mm-hmm.
the working conditions. I mean, it was funny. I was talking to this one producer. We've got a story on our website about this with some real nice photos that I took. And she was saying, you know, this would make a great reality show, except, they'd never let us do it. Great story, great campaign. We've got a nice story about it. We don't have any action at this point, other than I think that there will probably be more pickets like this popping up in various towns. It's both an organizing campaign and a contract campaign that's going on at the moment. The target right now is a thing called ITV, which is based across the pond in the UK. But it was just very interesting because I really didn't, you know too much about this. When they were describing the working conditions, I said, you know, this sounds just like what we hear from people who have minimum wage jobs or some of our friends in the building trades.
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought being a television producer, you'd be kind of living the good life.
Nope. Especially if you're out in the field. And think about it. You know, if you talk about, you know, two of the ones that I watch, and I freely admit it, I watch is Gold Rush and crab fishing. And, you know, I got to tell you, think about it. Think about the schedule that those people are working, and you got to be there to cover it.
They do.
You know,
and that's the thing people don't realize. So much work goes into, you know, for what winds up on the screen. I think the ratio is something like 10 or 20 to 1 or something like that.
Absolutely. So, well, we hope that they get organized because that's the right thing. And then we got to organize those gold miners too, but that's another story. Listen, Chris, we got to get going, brother. We appreciate it very quickly. How do we find out more about the Washington, D.C. Area Council?
DCLabor.org. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and I will talk to you on Monday. Have a great Super Bowl weekend.
You too, Chris. Appreciate it. And don't forget, Union Snacks. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Stick around for Jim Hightower.
When it comes to pursuing their prey, sharks are master maneuverers. Loan sharks, that is. These days, this usurious species goes by the less threatening name of payday lenders. But they are no less voracious, targeting folks in rough financial straits and luring them with easy money come-ons. With lethal interest rates of more than 700%, automatic renewal clauses, and other razor-sharp gotchas, a $500 payday loan can sink a hapless borrower thousands of dollars into debt. That's why states have been restricting the sharks' interest rate gouging and entrapment techniques. But with a flip of their tails, many payday lenders are simply swimming around state laws by operating online and offshore from such regulatory safe harbors as the Bahamas, the Isle of Man, and Malta. From there, sharks can make loans, then begin devouring their borrowers' bank accounts, even in states that ban such loans. How can shady operators pull off billions of dollars worth of these devious and maybe illegal transactions each year? With inside help from such pillars of the financial establishment as Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Wells Fargo. Of course, these upstanding corporate citizens don't dirty their hands or reputations by making these predatory loans, but they willingly allow offshore sharks to tap directly into the borrower's checking accounts and withdraw unconscionable interest payments electronically and mercilessly. There's a four-letter F word for what the banks are doing to their own depositors. Fees. Automatic withdrawals by the sharks can cause a tsunami of overdrafts in a borrower's bank account, and banks happily collect fat fees for every overdraft. This is Jim Hightower saying, for more information and action, go to responsiblelending.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
While college and university tuitions go up and up, higher education administrators have been spending less on students' education. Today, only a quarter of higher ed faculty has secure full-time jobs. The rest are so-called adjunct faculty, hired on a per-course temporary basis, often with no benefits, and are paid just $2,700 on average per course. Dedicated adjunct faculty across the country are joining together and fighting back in defense of their students' future. In Pittsburgh, they have formed the Adjunct Faculty Association, affiliated with United Steelworkers Union. Adjuncts and students all over the city are joining the AFA to achieve the goal of providing high-quality, affordable higher education. To know more or to support Pittsburgh's adjunct faculty, give us a call at 412-562-6967 or find us on the web at usw.org. Again, that's 412-562-6967 or usw.org. Together, we can take higher education back.
Hi, I'm Al Roker. Let me tell you what's happening in your neck of the woods. Right now, 1 in 6 Americans don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are our neighbors, friends, our coworkers, but we can do something about it. Visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find the local food bank in your community. I'm Al Roker, and together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Members of the American Postal Workers Union handle more than 165 billion letters and packages a year. That's about 34 million pounds of mail every day. Ever wonder what this costs you as a taxpayer? Millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions? Not a single cent. The United States Postal Service doesn't run on your tax dollars. It's funded solely by stamps and postage. Brought to you by the men and women of the American Postal Workers Union.
When Dad needed help getting around, I became his driver. Soon enough, it was up to me to be his housekeeper and financial manager, too. When he moved in, I became his cook and even his nurse. But no matter what roles I play, I know I'm still his daughter.
We understand the roles you play. So to help, we created aarp.org/caregiving, where you can connect with experts and other caregivers. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66 works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate that. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Joining us now for Media Matters, Emily Arlwood. Emily, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Charles.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. You know, listen, we're getting ready to talk about the Tinfoil Hat Award, but when we're done with this week's, I want to get an idea from you and the listeners about maybe just changing this up a little bit. But let's talk about this week's Tinfoil Hat Award winners. Who's your second runner up?
All right. Well, I'm intrigued at the idea of changing this up a little bit, but but for this week, the second runner-up are Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee and their witness list for the Loretta Lynch hearings. Excuse me. Loretta Lynch is the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, and she has been nominated, as you all know, to become the Attorney General. And her hearings were this week, and Republicans brought this long cast of right-wing media characters on to testify during her hearings, even though they have little to nothing to do with Loretta Lynch, but they just wanted to push all these different smears about the Department of Justice during her hearings.
Right, and they want to get her under oath to answer questions, sound bites for each one of these organizations that it's out there. I mean, for instance, you know, Emily, are you still stepping on your cat's tail? You know,
right,
this is the kind
exactly.
of thing, and you know, this is the kind of thing they're doing. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I think that those people that are out there looking for Bigfoot or hunting UFOs or the Chupacabra are very important, but I don't think they belong here in this setting.
Right, they don't. I mean, they had Cheryl Atkinson, who's currently suing the Justice Department, and Eric Holder over, you know, very, what I would call ridiculous claims that federal agents hacked into our computers. They had the head of True the Vote that calls itself an election watchdog but actually pushes for racial and discriminatory voter ID laws testify. They even had a Milwaukee County sheriff testify there who once said on Alex Jones' radio show that Obama's gun policies could lead to the second American Revolution.
That's upholding the Constitution of the United States. Okay.
So So it's just, you know, they tried to turn her hearings into a circus, despite the fact that both Republicans and Democrats agree that she's a phenomenal choice for attorney general. So I guess while they had the attention of the country, they wanted to try to push these smears against the Justice Department.
Absolutely. All right, Emily, who's your first runner-up this week?
First runner-up are two of my favorite people, Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. So this weekend was the Iowa Freedom Summit, where all the 2016 GOP hopefuls came and gave their spiels. And Donald Trump spoke and Sarah Palin spoke. And I'm sure you've heard sound bites of Sarah Palin's, where her teleprompter went out and it was just a debacle. She was saying things, you know, like, you know, the man can only ride you when your back is bent. Nobody knew what she was talking about. Donald Trump was offering to build a border fence, joking. Well, he was being serious, but saying, who can build better than Trump, you know?
Yeah,
invoking,
you know,
a fence with Trump across of it on the southern border.
That's exactly what we need, more Chinese steel.
Right. And, you know, just the fact that they were even invited to speak there, I think says a lot about how in 2016 the Republicans are going to be up to their same tricks with these same non-serious candidates. Thankfully now the tide is seemingly turning against Sarah Palin, where even Republicans are acknowledging that she is not a serious candidate, but she's still on Fox News. She's still on Hannity, and Hannity's asking her, you know, seriously, are you going to think about running for president and giving her this platform? In fact, she's still a Fox contributor, to my knowledge.
Emily, do you know what the address is to her PAC so I can make a contribution?
I don't. But I don't know why you'd want to do that.
I would love to see her run for president, that's for sure.
Well, I will say, if she was actually the nominee, how great would those debates be?
UFOs, IRS, Bigfoot, Benghazi.
It would be must-see TV to watch her get up there and try to hold a legitimate debate.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sorry, Jimmy Joe, Jim Bob, I do not want to see that. That's another story in and of itself. I got an email just now. But listen, Emily, we have got to find out. I'm excited. We've got to find out who the winner is this week.
So the winner this week, I know it takes a lot to beat Sarah Palin and Donald Trump, but the winner this week is Mike Huckabee.
Nope.
Who, you know, Huckabee just, he needs to stop talking about women. Because whenever he opens his mouth to talk about women, something awful comes out. And this week, he was on a radio show in Iowa, and he was talking about culture shock, moving to New York. And his example of the culture shock he went through was that, you know, in New York, not only do men curse, but women do it too. And he said, for a woman to say these things in a professional setting, you know, that's just very, as we would say in the South, that's just trashy.
Now, wait a second. Let me ask you this. Did Governor Huckabee talk about the requirement that all women working for Fox News in front of the camera must wear a skirt or a dress and must show their legs at all times?
Think that's just, you know, what women should do.
Well, there we go, and there's the reason why Governor Huckabee, once again, is the winner. I'm not sure that I want this award, but okay. Emily, this is always wonderful. Now, I have to ask you this, and I'm just going to lay this out for you, and anybody who's listening and tuned in, if they want to give us an idea about this, send it to requests@theunionedge.com. Emily, I have an idea. You know, we've got this brand new app. And we're very proud of it. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a polling segment put onto this app for your iPhone or your Android phone. And what I'm thinking is early in the morning, we can get the three tinfoil hat potential winners and have people vote on it.
Oh, I think that would be so much fun.
And then we can explain why. I love it.
I think it's great. And, you know, that's the hardest part of this is ranking. Ranking it week by week, because anybody could be a winner. So
we have the best
input.
You're absolutely right. We have the best audiences in the whole world. I trust their judgment, and I think that they should have their input on this, and I think this is a great way to do it. So we're going to work on trying to get that done, and I hope Paul Varga is listening of Jack of Apps, because Paul's going to have to make this happen for us.
Well, I'm excited. I think that's a great idea.
Absolutely. Emily, it's always a pleasure. I have to ask, how do we get a hold of you? How do we find out more about you?
More about me, just go to MediaMatters.org, and you can see everything I've been working on and what all of Media Matters has been working on.
Absolutely, and if you tweet it out, please include us at The Union Edge. We'll retweet it for you, Emily. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again here very soon.
Sounds great. Thanks again.
Thank you. Emily Earlwood of Media Matters. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Stick around for Doug Cunningham and Workers Independent News.